The Cougars dancing for a third consecutive season and earn a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament to take on the winner of Texas and NC State. How do we feel about BYU's draw? How does head coach Kevin Young feel about the draw? He'll join us to recap Selection Sunday and what has him feeling confident about the Cougars heading into March Madness.
Women's basketball didn't hear their name called yesterday. Bummer. Were they snubbed? And what does the WBIT berth mean now? And track stars Jane Hedengren and Carter Cutting join us in studio fresh off winning national championships this week.
Happy Monday! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is March 16th. What a wonderful time of year. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is ready for March Madness and has his tater tot snacks ready to go as well, Jerem Jordan.
Orida strikes again. They tweeted the following, still picking BYU to come out on tater top. It's mood board for this Sunday, some crispy tater tots, Cosmo, BYU logo, and an air fryer. For the win, Richie Saunders still lives with Orida, which is fun. Can't wait. Selection Sunday, one of the most exciting days of the year, especially if your team's in. And that wasn't in question. So now we go, baby, BYU and March Madness among my people in the 503 in Portland. That's pretty fun.
For me, Selection Sunday is kind of like that first gift you get to open sometimes, depending on your traditions around Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You open one presents, it's super exciting. And you see all the other presents still under the tree that you're going to open up the next morning. Christmas morning is Thursday morning.
That's what Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are. We actually started this last year in my house. We actually put like painter's tape up of an entire bracket on the wall.
I love it.
So we did it yesterday. I think it took like 2 hours. It took a long time, but it was awesome.
It's family tradition.
Yeah, it was fun.
I made my kids cry last night because I said we couldn't fill out brackets yet. We're holding it until Tuesday, and they're like, no, I don't want to wait.
What, why are you holding
it? Well, just because brackets? We ran out of time. It was bedtime. It's like, okay, we'll do it
they're
on Tuesday.
They're getting volatile, cranky, the whole thing.
Yes, hangry. Can't wait for my five-year-old to hear the words Red Storm and be like, Red Storm.
St. John's, five seed.
On that note, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
The sixth seed going to Portland is BYU.
You know, we're excited we're in Portland, but we're going to get busy, sure.
We just have a really confident locker room right now that feels like we're playing our best ball this time of year, which is what you want to be doing. We'll have to make quick work of tightening up the screws in terms of who we actually play.
I'm also glad we play in Portland because there's going to be a lot of BYU fans at the game.
Get your six-shooter ready for the Wild Wild West region of the NCAA tournament. What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Indeed, the Cougars are a sixth seed again out west. BYU will take on the winner of a couple of 11 seeds, NC State and Texas, in the first round in Portland. Jerem, what's your general reaction? I know you've had a little time to dwell on this, but what's your reaction to BYU's first round draw?
I'm excited. It's in Portland. I get to go back where I lived as a kid, and my in-laws are there, and I know my father-in-law already got tickets, so he's going, which is great. Shout out to Rob. But sixth seed is what we expected. Bracken Matrix had been screaming at us the last couple of weeks, hey, sixth seed. We told you sixth seed. That's what happened. BYU's history as a sixth seed, pretty good. Some of the best tourneys BYU's ever had, two of the three Sweet 16s, including last year, were a sixth seed. Obviously, in 21 and 24, BYU lost to UCLA. And that was a bummer at Butler, and then in 24 to Duquesne in Omaha. And so there's the this and that, right? But I like the idea of BYU as a six. They salvaged a six with a late run at the end of the year. They were probably dropping to a seven or maybe worse, a 10, because 8-9 would have been weird with bracketing principles.
BYU was the final six seed. They barely snuck in there.
So that's great. And then you look at, 11. I don't love the idea of having to wait for the winner of Texas NC State, but and we'll break down that in a second, kind of who we'd rather BYU play. But overall, solid, ready for the postseason, feeling good about where BYU's at, what progress they made from literally Saturday to Thursday. It was four games in 6 days, and BYU buttered their bread in a way where we are excited to have this meal in March Madness. And then you sit and you go, oh, Gonzaga as the three in Portland. That was a matchup we were hoping BYU would avoid. But guess what? bring it on. Let's go. Graham EK and Mark Few and those guys, BYU and Gonzaga, hopefully will suit up again in the second round. By the way, Gonzaga's won 16 straight first-round games. So they're going to beat Kansas State, and then hopefully BYU is there to meet them.
Well, the last time BYU and Gonzaga met in the second round, our good friend Jimmy Burdette remembers that.
That was so long ago. 15 years ago.
We got a text message from our friend Barrett Henderson, who is the sports information director at Gonzaga, with the gif of Michael Scott from The Office saying, well, 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 how the turntables.
Excited for that one, man.
On the 6-11 matchup, it's a little bit unnerving because the 6-11, based on percentages over the last decade, has become the most volatile matchup when you consider double-digit seeds upsetting a 6 seed. Like, the 6-11, in my opinion, has become the new 5-12. Like, everyone's like, oh, you got to pick 5-12. Maybe I'll pick two 12s over a 5. The 6-11, you actually have better percentages of doing such because that game, I mean, these teams are relatively evenly matched. This is like BYU facing West Virginia or a UCF-type team in the Big 12. Like, these are tough opponents in Texas and NC State. So it's a little bit weird, and you had said last week you don't like the idea of these teams having a warm-up game to get going. And
BYU has less time to prep. It's more about the prep.
Now you got 2 days to fully focus on whoever it is you're going to play. But maybe it's more about BYU just trying to figure out who they are and continue the momentum of what they have been building over the last couple of weeks. And then you don't overthink it. We'll see. We're going to ask Kevin Young about it on the show later today in about 15 minutes on how he approaches a unique scenario like that. I'm generally okay with this. I'm happy that BYU fought hard to earn a 6th seed. And I don't think it's a disadvantage that BYU gets to play a team that has to go to Dayton, Ohio, and then has to travel. And now they're trying to prepare for BYU also in an accelerated time frame.
Less than 48 hours.
So it's difficult on that end, too.
Because the game time is 4:25 local time in Portland.
Yes, so you got to use your legs early in the week, and then you got to get on a plane and go all the way from Dayton to Portland. How much time does whoever BYU faces, how much time do they have to prepare for a team like BYU? So maybe that is an advantage for the Cougars. I like the location. I'm excited for the BYU fans in the Pacific Northwest.
Yep.
I feel like there will be a strong contingent of Royal Blue.
Yep.
And fans have been waiting for an opportunity to watch BYU, especially in the Pacific Northwest. When was the last time they got to go watch BYU play?
21, when BYU played Oregon in the Moda Center.
It's been a while.
It's been 5 years.
Right?
Yep.
Unless BYU played at the University of Portland.
Maybe in 22 or 23.
Point is, it's been a minute, and so all of those fans around there, everybody in Idaho, Washington, Portland,
Northern California,
Washington State, Northern California,
and nationally, they'll fly
if
in.
If they
man.
Can get a ticket, they're going to find a way to be there to support BYU. So that's also an advantage. But I just like the trend that BYU is on right now, how they've been playing.
Yes.
And hopefully they can take advantage of a short turnaround for whoever the 11 seed is that comes out of that game in Dayton.
Let's break down these two opponents. So who would you rather BYU play in the first round, NC State or Texas?
Give me Texas all day, every day.
Agreed.
BYU thrives, especially A.J. DeBonsa, in getting to the hoop, taking advantage of defenders that are out of position and drawing fouls. He's one of the best in the country, if not the best in the country, at drawing fouls and then paying it off from the free throw line. Texas fouls a lot. In fact, there are 300 teams in Division I that foul less than Texas. They're number 301. So they hack you, and AJ could thrive in something like that. Also, Texas not playing super well down the stretch. They've lost 5 of 6.
Both have.
Frankly, NC State has as well. Yep. So they're kind of in a tough spot, barely snuck in. I just like the matchup individually for AJ against this Texas defense, who has had a habit of fouling a lot. And Texas doesn't shoot the three particularly well. BYU's defense has gotten better, especially against the three-point line and what they did in Kansas City. So I think Texas is probably the better matchup for BYU. NC State, they have a guy named Darian Williams.
Remember him?
Former Texas Tech guy.
Yep.
I don't want BYU to have to face a guy who has good vibes against BYU. You can't tell me he's not looking at his chops and saying, Let's just get past Texas.
I'm beating these guys.
Let me have a crack at BYU again. I'm going to take it to the Cougars again, just like I did both times last year.
I would rather play Texas. I agree with you. NC State is too good from the three-point line. They're 10th in the country. In fact, away from home, neutral and road, they're 41% from
three as a team. Which is a wildly high number.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
They
haven't been great in the past six games from the three-point line, but season long, they've been really good from the three-point line.
Yeah, they got like four dudes that have made 49 to 102 threes. Like Paul McNeil, the leading scorer, is really good. Darren Williams, you mentioned. Trey Holloway from Michigan State has 49. The freshman Matt Abel off the bench has 49. Quadir Copeland is 6.6 assists per game, good point guard. I would prefer that BYU doesn't play NC State for a third year in a row, although BYU won by 9 on neutral courts both of those matchups. Texas, great offense, 13th in the country, 112th in defense. Dalen Swain leads them in everything but blocks, so almost like Cooper Flagg-esque. You mentioned the drawing fouls from AJ. Mata Vokatidis is a 7-foot center. He's a lot to handle. He's actually third in fouls drawn in the country and free throw rate. Jordan Pope is like the irrational confidence Deion Waiters guy. He shoots threes like I play pickup. 7 of 18 from three against Oklahoma a couple games ago.
He shot 18 threes.
Yeah, by the way, BYU 2-0 against Texas in hoops all time, so good vibes there too. I would rather play Texas, so rooting for the Longhorns Tuesday night in Dayton in the first four. If it's NC State, BYU has to defend the three-point line in a way that they haven't very well all year.
Texas has been more competitive in their back six, even though they've lost five of those six, than NC State has. I mean, NC State got run, I mean, absolutely obliterated by Virginia twice, almost by 29 against Virginia, by 29 against Duke, lost to Virginia again in the conference tournament by 7, so they were better there.
Shout out Down Hall.
Lost home to Stanford, which almost got Stanford into the NCAA tournament. So NC State, again, in kind of a weird mental
in a weird
space.
Spot.
But they can just
I would just
light
prefer
it up.
To not play the team that shoots three.
They can
really
light
well.
It up from three. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah. And they played against each other in Maui. And
Texas won big.
Won the game.
Yeah.
So hoping for that again.
All right. You've heard our say. Maybe you feel differently. If you have something to back that up to why BYU should play NC State, let us know.
No DJ Burns, no Final Four run, hopefully, for NC State here. Although the last time BYU played the 11 play-in teams, it was Michigan State and UCLA. UCLA won. They went all the way to the Final Four.
They went to the Final Four.
Hopefully we don't have that situation.
Granted,
here.
They had three NBA players on their roster.
Not bad.
A little bit different. BYU playing relatively close to home, as we mentioned, in Portland, the 503, Jerem. Do you like BYU's draw of playing in Portland, and why is the answer unequivocally yes?
I don't like it. I love it.
Yeah, I
think it's going to be great. We've talked about all the reasons here. I want to add, A.J. DeBonta actually played in the Moda Center last summer at the Nike Hoop Summit for Team USA, who beat Team World. He scored 24 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists in that game. So he has experience on that court and played a good game. And so here we go, BYU in the NCAA tournament. And I think A.J. is going to be a star in this tournament. I think he's going to make himself a March Madness immortal by some amazing dunk, some amazing play, some amazing performances. Maybe puts up 35-plus in both games or something, in multiple games. I'm excited about what BYU is about to do.
Jerem, A.J. feels like he is built for March, just ready to do something spectacular. And it doesn't hurt that he has good vibes in that gym. I know it was only one game, but still, if your experience there was a good one,
bro,
why are you not excited to go back to that arena?
And it was Team USA, Nate Ament, Cameron Boozer, Chris Sinak Jr., like a bunch of these guys were on Team USA for the U19, so it was awesome.
I already mentioned the pushpin theory. If you're within 8 hours of Portland, Oregon, and you're a BYU fan, and this is your chance to watch A.J. DeBonta and this BYU team.
In the tourney.
In the biggest games of the season to date.
Let's go.
Until they get to the Sweet 16.
Exactly.
Then you're going to be there, and you're going to support BYU. So love that there will be a rallying cry for BYU fans to get to Portland.
Let's go. Okay, 3 seed in the second round. If BYU advances, we think they will. BYU would play the winner of Gonzaga, who's the 3 seed. Again, of 116 straight first-round games. They're going to win this. Against 14-seed Kennesaw State. Shout out Tony Engel, who used to coach them. Mm. How do you feel about the potential second-round matchup with the old rival Gonzaga in Portland?
I have a love-hate relationship with this idea. Yes, on the surface, very fun. And Gonzaga is a fantastic basketball program. And the idea of BYU matching up with Gonzaga in the second round like they did back in 2011 in an NBA arena. And BYU's got a National Player of the Year candidate on their team this year like they did in 2011. Mm-hmm. Dude that's built for March. Like, all of that is really fun. But then there is the, what if BYU doesn't beat Gonzaga, and then now that's hanging over your head and the Zags got the better of you and you lose out in the round of 32. I know, first things first, BYU's got to win a tough game against Texas or NC State, but just the rivalry, I thought we were past this. I thought we were done. Like, I had emotionally moved on. We're good. Like, it doesn't need to happen again, but here we are in the tournament that matters most. And maybe that should be the reason that I'm super excited about this, is because everything is on the line. And you bring a rivalry dynamic back into it that you thought that was kind of tucked away and put to bed.
I know, but there's some history.
Here we are again. So love, hate, fun on the surface, but emotionally, there's a lot riding on this game and this potential matchup. And you face Gonzaga essentially in their backyard.
Yes.
It's a five and a half hour drive from Spokane to Portland.
Massive home court there for Gonzaga. I challenge BYU fans to be there and match it. Like, will BYU match it? Probably not. But to match the energy and to bring the juice, right? It can be a stale environment in the NCAA tournament sometimes. People get excited, but like, are you going to get loud when BYU is facing an 8-0 run from Gonzaga? Not just quiet, right? That kind of stuff. The other is this. Hopefully BYU wins and then sends Gonzaga out of the WCC into the Pac-12 on a loss. Because that's what's happening when Gonzaga loses in this tournament. They are done in the WCC era. So let's go. I'm excited for Cougar Nation, though, to descend on the 503. I think it will be great. I think the homies there, in southwestern Washington as well, from all over, this is an opportunity for BYU. They got the closest draw to home they could possibly get. Let's use it.
Hopefully the other fans that are in Portland, if BYU and Gonzaga are matching up, will just root for the underdog in that scenario. And so BYU fans are then joined by everybody else who's watching to cheer against the number 3 seed Gonzaga. It's a strange dynamic.
I have a sense. I would think that the neutrals will go for Gonzaga. Because the Pacific Northwest binds together. Like, Oregon and Washington sort of bind together.
Wishful thinking, Jerome. It's wishful thinking
my
part.
Having lived there, I don't think that's happening.
Our question of the day. What are your expectations for BYU in the 2026 version of the NCAA tournament? At V-Ball Josh answers, I expect him to win the first and second round.
Let's go.
Neither matchup would be more difficult than teams BYU has already played. That said, we could also get bounced in the first round if we don't bring the effort and desire, which BYU has shown in the past four games, notably effort and desire.
I think BYU is different now. And why play all these neutrals at NBA arenas if they don't help you for this? I think BYU is prepared for this. They've been really good in neutrals. Does BYU have the best path to the Elite Eight in the tourney, says Samuel Bird. Zags, then Purdue. I like our odds. Sweet 16 at least. Elite Eight is definitely a possibility.
Oh, wow. Big possibility. Ten tournament champion Purdue on a heater right now.
That would be interesting. There are a lot of champions in BYU's region, by the way.
Win Thursday and let's see what happens.
Yep.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Let's pick up the tempo as we move into the hurry up drill.
Okay, what was your reaction to women's hoops being the first out of the NCAA tournament?
Frankly, I wanted to punch a hole in my wall.
I had a roommate at BYU do that. Shout out, Charles.
Thankfully, I can control my emotions, but I knew it was going to happen. I just felt in my bones that there was not enough on BYU's resume with the lack of a quad one win to push them in over the likes of a team like Richmond and certainly Arizona State, even though they beat Arizona State twice and won the head-to-head there. The season-long metrics were not good. So frustrated that the women didn't have quite enough, and being the first team out is tough.
That's
but
brutal.
What a fantastic building point for Lee Kamard and this group to win 22 games in his first season, to be the number one overall seed in the WBIT, and have opportunity to gel even more. And you're only going to get better next year, you would think.
Yeah, they went above expectation. I didn't think they'd be in this position. Did the Cincinnati loss ultimately cost you anything?
Maybe.
Like, not just not having a quad one, but having that loss. That's tough. Great building block, like you mentioned. Excited about where this program's going.
Speaking of elite women's athletics, Jane Hedengren wins the indoor individual national championships in the 5,000 meters and the 3,000 meters.
Boom, baby.
Unbelievable performance from a true freshman.
She's the best.
True freshman. Did Jane just top AJ DiBonta and Gihei Akina, BOA Men's Golf, with the top freshman performance over the last week?
We're just talking about last week, not the whole season. Yes, winning two natties, yes, greater than what AJ and Kihei did. And they were spectacular too. Pick your wonderful thing here. Yes, Jane wins the week for me. What a week from those three super duper stars.
Yeah, this is Jerem staring at all of the delicious cheesecakes at Cheesecake Factory and saying, I'll have a slice of that, and a slice of that, a slice of that. I'm with you.
Carter Cutting, shout out to Wilsonville, Oregon, where my wife's from, won the mile, and that's where Carter's from, at the Indoor National Championships. Do you think Carter could run 2 miles faster than we could run 1 mile each? Does that make sense?
It would be close. It would be close.
358, 84, 94? Oh, my gosh.
I could probably manage like a 750 mile.
You think you could right now?
Pushing myself really hard.
I don't think I could right now. No. I play basketball a couple times a week, but no. Running the mile fast? No way.
I try and
he would lap us
a little bit, but it would be close. He would be on my heels finishing my first mile, and he would have run 2 miles.
Shout out to Carter, dude. Carter's great, man. We'll talk to Carter and Jane coming up later. Okay, BYU Sports Nation, we'll be live this Friday. Special show, 2 hours. Spence here anchoring Pro Day coverage. I'll be live from Portland.
Let's go.
Recapping, hopefully, a win against Texas or NC State.
Yep.
This Friday, 2 hour special on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, BYU head basketball coach Kevin Young back in studio. What was his initial reaction to BYU's draw in March Madness? And what has him feeling most confident about this team right now? Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
It's going to be a freaking fun ride day we get to that tournament. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I think it'll be packed with blue. I'm excited about that.
Now we're playing the winner of Texas versus NC State.
We've proven we can play with any team.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Happy Monday, everyone. NCAA Tournament Week is upon us. And joining us now to set the tone for the week is the head coach of BYU Men's Basketball, Kevin Young, back in the Cougar Council Room. Coach, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
What was your first reaction to seeing BYU on the six-seed line and then the prospect of either Texas or NC State as your first-round opponent?
Yeah, just excitement, you know, such an unbelievable spectacle. So to be a part of it, I think just the excitement, especially for some guys first time through it. But in terms of the seed and the opponent, you know, you're expecting to find out exactly who you're going to play. So that kind of threw a little wrinkle into it. But, you know, there's some good things there. I think it gives you a lot less time to overthink things, which with our group, I think is actually a positive. But in terms of location, you know, like that it's out west, hopefully we'll have a lot of Cougar blue in there, which I'm sure we will. So there's a lot of good things.
What did you love about being a sixth seed specifically, and were you expecting that?
You know, I don't really dissect it too much in terms of the seeds. You know, it really is all about the matchups. So I don't know. I don't really know how to look at it other than the fact that, like, you're really focused on who you might play and where you're going to be playing, right? And so just fortunate that, like I said, it's out west. Both, you know, I watched Texas and NC State last night. You know, similar type of profiles in terms of both really good offensive teams. And so we'll try to use our next 2 days wisely to prepare for both of them.
When you are preparing for two teams, how do you balance the amount of information that can flow in naturally as you're trying to assess, like, okay, well, if it's NC State, it's this. If it's Texas, it's this. Like, what's the proper approach to balance that preparation?
Well, I think that's where the analytics are good because, you know, the numbers can tell a story without having to watch, you know, hours and hours and hours of film. And so you can kind of just get a blueprint of where they're similar and then lock into those things on the film. And But at the same time, you know, I think I've made this mistake in the past where you start worrying about the other team too much. You know, I really want to focus on us, especially given, you know, where we are with our team as far as, you know, what I call the third iteration of this team. So we just really want to make sure we're dialed on what we want to do, the things that we want to be able to execute on both ends of the floor. That's kind of just specific to us and not so much the other team. And so we'll do that. But obviously, you got to prepare for whichever opponent it might be. But like I said, I think we've made mistakes this year. You know, I've talked about over the last couple of weeks of we've simplified things. And now when you have a little bit less time, you kind of have to simplify things, right? So in a lot of ways, it saves us from ourselves. So we'll see how that process goes.
When you look at what you accomplished last year going to the Sweet 16 as a six seed, what did you learn in that process that has helped your approach for this year, the second time around?
Yeah, I think, you know, so last year, all I had to really compare things to were like the NBA playoffs, right? And so I think one big thing there that I learned in that was you really just have to take it one game at a time. You know, you can't get too far down the road. I think this is the exact same thing. Obviously, you have to because it's so, you know, it's do or die, obviously. But, you know, instead of worrying about what's coming there and if we win this, you do that and all that, just I don't even go there. You know, you just really have to have a singular focus, which our guys have had that. I feel good about the level of focus our guys have had all year and will continue to have. But that was probably the biggest thing from last year, just to kind of that really reinforced that thought for me.
Kevin Young, BYU head basketball coaches on BYU Sports Nation. You mentioned figuring some things out with this third iteration of a team. It's been a wild ride, but what have you figured out over the last couple of weeks that make you feel good about where your team is heading into the NCAA tournament?
Well, like I said, I mean, we feel like we've kind of simplified things on the defensive end. I know there's been some talk internally with the guys too about that. Just feel like it's allowed us to just hold them accountable for just playing a little bit harder. What I like to say, just do it harder, longer, faster, stronger. That's the adjustment instead of scheme. Now obviously you have to have some scheme in there, but we're not, I don't think we're dizzying the guys less with a lot of scheme. We're keeping a lot of that to ourselves as coaches and then employing it when we feel like we need to, and just trying to streamline everything and make that message of playing harder more the forefront of the messaging. And then the guys were playing, you know, that's what they're good at. You know, guys like, you know, Moo and guys like Hadim and Dominique Diamande, you know, they're energy guys. They play hard. And in a lot of ways, it's freed those guys up to go out and make plays. And I think other guys have fed off of it. I think AJ's, you see it, a lot more emotion out of him. I think it's turned Rob Wright up a little bit. You know, Cabe is pretty steady, but I think it's kind of energized him as well. So that's been good.
Do you expect the on-call dentist to also be a BYU grad at the NCAA tournament? Because that was a wild story too.
Hey man, Cougar Nation truly is everywhere. Yeah, that was wild, and he took great care of us and Rob. I think it just shows Rob's toughness as well to be able to just you know, kind of battle through that and still be able to play like he did.
John Linehan did him dirty though, putting him on Instagram the next day, just like soup and milk.
I saw that. That was pretty funny. Yeah.
The retaliation apparently is forthcoming from Rob. What's a guy like Dom Diamande doing right now to figure out his role and where he fits into this version of the team?
Yeah, I mean, Dom's a special young man. You know, I appreciate that because that was, you know, yeah, there we go.
There was a lace up here.
Jerem moved the lace on my hoodie.
Kevin, I tried to hide it for the people, hey, but
that's attention to detail. Yeah. Coach appreciates attention to detail.
I do.
OCD radars are just going off everywhere.
Woo!
But in terms of Dom, no, I mean, he's a special young man in terms of, you know, just how he's even gotten to this point just in life. I mean, he's had a lot of adversity in his own life. And so when Richie got hurt, he sent me a note. He said, hey, Coach, you know, I'd like to meet with you. And you know, which isn't necessarily that out of the blue. I thought I knew what he was going to say, but what he said was, hey man, when you call my number, I'm going to be ready. I've been working. And, you know, I didn't call his number in a short period of time after that. It took a little bit of time, but, you know, he's one of our hardest workers, you know, and his ability to come in and just do what he does well, like I said, focusing on just playing super hard. You know, he's really kind of sunk his teeth into that. You know, he's a guy that can guard a lot of different positions because of his size. You know, then he gets out in transition, and it's you know, it's a one-man highlight show. So he's been good, man. Like I said, guys have fed off of that.
Gabe Ikeda was killing me last week. He said, I've seen it so many times in practice, I'm not even impressed anymore. I was like, what? That's one of the best dunks we've seen in BYU history.
Came
twice.
Up on the top rope.
Twice. I mean, that's Kaba. He's low-key. He's funny. How do you maximize AJ on this stage? Because I know you're trying to maximize him in every situation. It felt like he did that last week. That was awesome. Now you're in March Madness, and people's legacies can really be earned. He can be his highlights can be played forever, right? And he's at that level, but what do you do on this stage to make sure he can help you win as much as possible?
Well, I think it's super important when you get to this time of year to not try to get outside of who you are, who you've been, right? I learned that lesson in the playoffs when I was in the NBA from a long time NBA veteran. I personally, as the coach, I was doing too much, and he's like, Coach, chill out, dude. Like, let's do what we've done all year, and that taught me a good lesson. And so, with AJ and all of our guys, I think you just have to be true to like your identity, true to your game, true to who you are. You know, he's obviously super mature. You know, the good thing with him is he can score all over the floor in so many different ways. And so, that's personally what I'm looking into when I'm studying teams, or you know, how are they going to defend AJ? Because obviously that's a huge part of what we do, and that's really my main message to AJ: just stay within yourself.
You had a strong opinion in the post game about he should have shot 20 free throws. I shared that opinion as well. Do you feel like a fresh set of eyes will help maximize his opportunities, perhaps at the free throw line?
You never know. I mean, I was, you never know. Like it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I mean, he's, you know, my big thing with AJ. And it really started after the first Big 12 game at Kansas State. You know, just constantly reminded him to just play through contact, go score, and then let it be what it might be. You know, he's a guy that's, it's hard to guard him one-on-one without fouling him. You know, he's been one of the best players in the country all year at drawing fouls. So, you know, hopefully And my thing is, I don't, you know, I'm not asking for anything special with AJ. You know, actually, someone, and I won't name the name, but a longtime college head coach said to me, you know, one thing that you might say to the officials, don't penalize him for being a great player. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, well, he can get through that contact, you know, and so just call what you see.
What do you feel like the atmosphere and vibe of the team is overall right now based on the interactions you had last night and what they're thinking about the NCAA tournament?
No, the vibes have been good. And honestly, even in this season where we've had a lot of ups and downs, I mean, I've never had to come in and really motivate these guys to work harder or to be locked in, right? They've been a really steady group in that respect, and I really appreciate about them. Now, obviously, there's things that we have not done well and whatever that happens in the season, but, you know, I think their vibes are good. I think they're confident. I think for me, the win at home against Texas Tech was monumental in so many ways. You know, I thought the Iowa State win was going to be the jumping off point, you know, the post Richie jumping off point. It turned out not to be, but you know, the win against Texas Tech was huge. The thing that I'll always remember that because I felt like everybody in the building knew it. They knew we needed that win. And it was like the crowd was just in there on every possession. You know, the fact that they stormed the court, I think, was just like, man, we needed this so bad, right? And so I think that was a big confidence booster for our guys. And then going on the road to the tournament, you know, in one night you break the Big 12 tournament record for points in a game as a team, and then the next night you have arguably your best defensive performance of the season, and then the following night, you know, you have a chance to beat a team in Houston who's a Final Four caliber team. So I think our guys are thriving off all of that and I think are just relishing the moment. You know, I've talked a lot about how cool March Madness is in terms of my own experience. And I've shared that with the guys a couple weeks ago. It might have been premature, but I was just I wanted them to just understand how cool it could be when you're playing your best ball this time of year, so that you can go into this tournament, which is so unique and so amazing. And I just want them to have such a good experience in it. And I think we're I don't think. I know we're playing our best ball at the right time of year.
Well said. I'm so glad it's been such an easy season for all of you, Coach.
And I'm glad the fans finally listened to you and stormed the court. Because against Iowa State, you were summoning them, and they didn't, right? And then it happened against Texas Tech.
Honestly, I wasn't necessarily summoning them. I was just so emotional in a good way just because we needed a big win. And yes. I just kind of, you know, and they gave us a big boost. So the fans have been great all year.
In all seriousness, it's been incredible to watch this story arc and everything this team has gone through and the adversity you've overcome, and super excited to watch it in the NCAA tournament.
Can't wait, man.
We're sending all the BYU Sports Nation karma we can muster. More good vibes headed your way, Coach. Thanks for the time.
No, I appreciate it,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for coming Thank in. You. Okay, BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from Portland and Provo Wednesday through Friday, noon Eastern, here on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Look at Kevin drawing up a great play right here in this picture.
That was a winner. Still on the way, BYU women's basketball snubbed as the first team out in their NCAA tournament. Plus, an impressive Big 12 opening series win for the Batcats. And what did track and field pull out? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. The show rolls on. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Men's basketball headed to March Madness as the sixth seed, 33rd time in program history. BYU is going to the dance. BYU headed to Portland, where they'll play the winner of Texas and NC State Thursday, 7:25 Eastern on TBS. BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from Portland beginning Wednesday.
BYU women's basketball unfortunately did not have their name called on Selection Sunday, missing the tournament for a fourth straight season. The Cougars, the first team out, just on the wrong side of the cut line. However, they are a one seed for the WBIT and will host Alabama A&M in a first-round game on Thursday at the Marriott Center. So their season will indeed roll on.
To the NCAA Track and Field Indoor National Championships, BYU freshman phenom Jane Hedengren won two individual natties in the 5,000 and the 3,000. She's the first freshman in NCAA history to win both the 3,000 and 5,000 and become the first BYU women's athlete to win two events at the same championship meet. Incredible.
On the men's side, BYU's Carter Cutting won the mile at the Indoor National Championships, running a time of 3 minutes, 58 seconds, 94 hundredths. Cutting becomes the first BYU male to win an indoor national championship since Miles Batty in 2011, who also won the mile. Carter and Jane, by the way, will join us next segment.
We like talking to champions. Yep. Other BYU All-Americans include, on the women's side, Riley Chamberlain, first-team All-American in the mile. Chamberlain and Jenna Hutchins, second-team All-American in the 3,000. Sammy Oblad, second-team All-American in the 400. Zoe Bonds, second-team All-American in the pentathlon. And the DMR team of Taylor Rohatinsky, Sammy Oblad, Tessa Buswell, and J.C. Harkins Farmer, first-team All-Americans. The women placed fifth overall. Well done. On the men's side, Ben Barton, first-team All-American and a BYU school record in the heptathlon. Isaac Hedengren, Jane's brother, first-team All-American in the 3,000. Tavon Kitchen, first-team All-American in the 3,000 and the 5,000. Creed Thompson, second-team All-American in the 5,000. And the DMR team of Carter Cutting, Jonah Haymooley, Braden Packard, and Isaac Hedengren, first-team All-Americans. The men finished seventh as well. A great showing.
It's a lot of All-American.
So many All-Americans.
BYU Gymnastics scored a season-best 197.225 and upset 14th-ranked Clemson on the road on Friday. That's the ninth highest score from BYU Gymnastics in program history.
Wow.
Up next, BYU competes at the Big 12 Championships on Saturday, March 21st at the Maverick Center in West Valley City, Utah.
Baseball won its Big 12 opening series over Cincinnati, won the series clincher Saturday, 10-9. What a game. Up next, BYU heads to St. George to play Utah Tech tomorrow.
BYU softball wins 2 out of 3 at the Trailblazer Classic in St. George this weekend with wins over Omaha and Utah Tech. Up next, BYU in Stillwater for a 3-game series in conference against number 21-ranked Oklahoma State.
Number 7 men's volleyball dropped 2 road matches at number 18 Stanford on Friday and Saturday. Up next, the Cougars host Concordia Irvine this weekend.
BYU men's tennis upsets number 35 Oklahoma State 4-2 on Saturday to get their first Big 12 win of the season and improve their season record to 13-3.
Women's tennis beat West Virginia 4-2 to earn their second conference win of the year. They are 13-4 overall.
How about men's and women's tennis?
They're doing great.
Women's golf tees out this morning at the Betsy Rawls Longhorn Invitational in Austin, Texas. Good luck. After the break, as promised, two NCAA national champions in studio, Jane Hedengren and Carter Cutting, recap what winning feels like and being the best of the best on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Back in Studio B, this is BYU Sports Nation, and it is time to welcome not one, but two NCAA national champions into the studio.
Yeah.
Jane Hedengren and Carter Cutting from BYU
Clap it up.
Track and
Clap
Field.
It up.
Welcome back.
Guys.
Awesome. Light work for you? Okay, not at all, but incredible stuff. Jane, one could say you were cooking with two national championships. And apparently you like to cook as well. Like, you actually enjoy cooking, correct?
I do, yes, definitely.
Did you make yourself a nice meal after you won two national titles?
Just getting back, not yet. But maybe this week I will.
Which of the two was more gratifying?
Oh, I think the 5K. Mm. Yeah, just with that stack competitive field and having Doris there and also having it be my first race of the weekend. I wasn't sure how it was going to shake out, but was walking away with a lot of gratitude after that race.
Carter, what's it like to watch Jane and then go out and pull off what you did and win the national championship in the mile?
Yeah, I mean, it's inspiring. I mean, you see her leading out in front, and I'm like, I got to do the same thing. I got to win. So she set the standard. She set the tone. So I just had to kind of go execute and do what she did. She set the standard. So
your last lap was awesome. Talk to me about kind of winning it at the end there.
Yeah, it was surreal. I mean, I could hear Coach Waite, like, screaming at me. He's like, you got to go. And so I sent it. And you know, there was a lot of really good guys in that field, obviously. And so I was like, I didn't think I had it until I was like 5 meters past the line. I was
wow.
Like double checking. I was like, I knew there was going to be guys coming. So I was worried at the end, but I got it done. So.
And at least one of yours, you kind of pulled the BYU out, right?
Love that.
Repping.
Definitely.
What went into that choice? That was a cool moment.
Yeah. That was a really special race as well. Just come back and kind of execute it how I wanted to. And just make it kind of a hard race, a hard effort. People were coming in tired, and talking with Coach, I feel like that was our best bet, was to try to make it fast and pull people along, and then hopefully Jenna and Riley could pick up some people in the later stages of the race. And ultimately we put our best selves out there and Riley and Jenna weren't quite able to pick those last few people off, but so much to be proud of and just keep looking forward. So,
Carter, you mentioned hearing Coach Waite. Jane, it's a good thing you have a low-key coach in Diljit
Who's
Taylor.
Who's super quiet, doesn't like the limelight.
Could you hear her amidst the chaos of both of your national championship races?
Definitely, and especially in that 5K, it was so helpful having her there because I was kind of playing the race by ear. I didn't have a super cemented race plan coming in, and so it was really encouraging to have her there every single lap telling me to wind it up or that I was good where I was at, and just kind of having that instruction throughout that whole race.
Shout out to the great coaches at BYU. They're
amazing.
So Diljit Taylor, Ed Eisner, Ryan Wade, and Millennium. Describe to me that feeling, and when did you realize that this was a possibility in your life, Carter, that you could win the national title in the mile?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think right before I left for the track, I don't know, I just had this kind of like this peace going into this race. Like, I just felt really good about it. And I mean, no one would have picked me to win. Like, I wasn't a favorite. No one was really talking about me. But like, I just had people in my corner just like really supporting me and believing in me. And so I was sitting on the couch before we left just with my mom in the hotel, and I was just like, I just like looked at her like, I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to do it today. And so that was kind of like the moment where I was like, you know what, if it doesn't happen, like, it's great. But like, I just had so much peace going in the race, and like, it was so fun. Just like, I'd made the final, we had done the DMR the night before. And so it was kind of just like, it was fun. And Coach Waite was saying like the night before, he's like, we had this motto, this like MJ motto, is like, go be a legend. And like,
ooh.
It was just like, it was a great weekend. So
legendary, awesome. Indeed. Do you feel at any point, Carter, that your coach will screen print your face onto a jacket and rock that in a competition like Diljit does for her athletes?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Eisner has some pretty good style. Coach Wade does too. I don't know if they would ever be able to pull that off.
I have questions about the budgets that go into that as well.
That would be hilarious. I would love to see it.
Yeah. Jane, you've obviously heralded career. What did it mean to win two natties and to have that and rep BYU in that space?
It meant a lot, and I think what means the most is the people behind it and who were becoming on this journey, right, is you're trying to put your best self out there and just keep learning and growing and loving through this process. And ultimately, like, it's just such a privilege to be repping BYU. And for the time being, I'm just borrowing this jersey, and I wanna shine light on what we're doing here. And it's inspiring, like, all the BYU alum and all the people to come. It's just borrowing these jerseys, so.
And then your brother Isaac takes, what, 7th in the 3,000 as well?
Yep.
What was that like? I saw a cool photo of the two of you there.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, it's awesome to be on this journey with him. I love him so much, and he's one of my best friends. And, yeah, just so proud of the way he shows up. It was a lot of fun to be able to race the 3K together.
There's some correlation here, and so bear with me, Carter, but it's been 15 years since the BYU men won an indoor national championship in the mile.
The great Miles Batty.
That was Miles Batty. 2011, okay? It's been 15 years since BYU men's basketball played Gonzaga.
Let's see where you're going
in
here.
The NCAA.
Carter's from
tournament.
Portland area.
You're
Wilsonville.
From Portland. Cougars, yep. Headed up there. So yeah. Take that for what you will. But what did it mean to you to do something that hasn't been done in 15 years?
I mean, yeah, it was pretty special. Having people like to look up to, like Miles Batty. I mean, he wrote me a letter before the race, and so it was pretty surreal to have a guy like that who did the double, the DMR and the mile. And so, I mean, he's a BYU legend. So it was really cool, and you know, it was just fun to go out there, and especially with my teammates too. Like Jane said, like, just having such an amazing support group and just being with the boys, you know, it's just like, I couldn't ask for anything better.
He wrote you a letter.
Yeah, just advice on what to do in between races. You know, you had like 2.5 hours in between the DMR and the mile prelims. And so as soon as the race was over, I was running outside. I was getting the cool down in, drinking carbs. So he just had all the tips and tricks to get it done.
That's awesome. Yeah. Outdoor season starts this weekend. Do you get the week off? You win a title, you get the week off, or are you competing this weekend?
I'm not competing. I don't think Carter is.
I'm not competing.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Take it easy. Yeah. Relax. How does this kind of send you into outdoor with some momentum?
Definitely. Just want to keep growing, keep learning. And there's so much to look forward to outdoor season. And just keep lining up with teammates and others and trying to put our best selves out there. So.
Listen, I asked if you made yourself a nice meal. Frankly, you deserve a situation where people are making all the nice meals for you, okay? So if someone hasn't yet, go make Jane whatever she wants, and Carter as well. Congratulations.
Congrats, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Incredible. Thanks for bringing in the hardware as well.
Heck yeah.
There we go.
All right, after the break, what are your expectations for BYU men's basketball in the NCAA tournament? More responses to our question of the day after this on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer. He is Jerem, and we continue on with a fantastic show to close things out.
Let's go. Our question today: what are your expectations for BYU in the NCAA tournament at playoff bogey? It's almost that time of year, Smith. Sweet 16 dreams. I think we have a good chance of going B2B.
Okay.
There's actually a decent path to the Elite Eight, too.
Come on!
So starts with that first game.
Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from @Nick from PDX. Says, take it game by game. This team plays best when they are focused on what's in front of them versus looking ahead. Stack those wins, and welcome to Portland. The march starts here.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
It's to Jane Hennegren, Carter Cutting, who were just in here. Carter from Wilsonville, Oregon, which is south of Portland, not too far from Lake Oswego, where the temple is. National champions. That was cool.
Amazing.
Congrats to them.
Three natties between the two of those athletes.
And Jane's an all-timer already. And she's just getting started. Dude.
Top seven finishes for both teams. Fantastic.
So good.
It's running school, Jerem.
Yes, it is.
Our thanks to today's guests, BYU basketball head coach Kevin Young and the aforementioned Jane Hennegren and Carter Cutting.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, so it's a shout out to Charles Abuo, only guys that beat Gonzaga in 2011. See you tomorrow back here in studio. Be Go Cougs.